surrender to the King. Sing it, amen. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Again, let the worshipers. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Hallelujah. Let's give him a praise offering tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he's so worthy of our praise tonight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's what sons and daughters do. Amen. They're made to worship the King. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Let's turn into the scripture tonight. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, just want to read a couple verses here of scripture for a text tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight we're going to speak just about restoration from God. Amen. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, we know who that is. We know who the thief is. The Bible doesn't even have to name him. Right? We know who he is. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I, Jesus speaking, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sins is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer. I don't know if it was mentioned or not, but we want to remember Brother Baker in prayer tonight. The Bakers made it home safely from vacation. Sister Baker's with us tonight, I believe. But Brother Baker came down with COVID, so we want to just remember him. And he's recovering at home, but amen. Pray for him and that he would be restored in his body. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so grateful once again to be able to come, Lord God, and to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And Father, we just, as we change the order of the service, read your word, Lord. We pray that you would anoint your word, Father. May it be a living word tonight. Lord, may it shake us, Lord God. May it move us. Lord, just out of the carnal place maybe that we're in tonight, Lord. Wednesday night, there are so many distractions and things of the day, Father. But we are heavenly creatures tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just move us, Lord God. Our soul is already in heavenly places. But Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, that you would just peel back that curtain, Lord God. And may we recognize who we are and where we are. And Lord, may our flesh take a back seat tonight, and may we just soar on eagle's wings, I pray, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd bless our pastor tonight as he's home recovering, Lord. Lord, just pray that you just touch his body, Lord. You are his healer, Lord, and we know that he's trusting you, Lord, so we're just uniting our faith together with him tonight. We're binding the enemy and praying, Lord, that you would just touch and restore his body. Lord, may he return to service, Lord, better than ever, Father, renewed and refreshed and ready to continue the battle, Father. We thank you, Father, and we just commit all these things in your name. Amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you for praying for me. Definitely feeling better since Sunday. Still sucking on a little cough drops here and there, though, because I still have that little guy with the feather in my throat. I'm not sure, you know, how I can evict him quite yet, but every once in a while he likes to just tickle my throat, so I just keep a little cough drop around. But praise the Lord, that is getting better too, and so I'm thankful for that. Amen. As I mentioned tonight, I want to speak to you about just restoration. And, you know, these scriptures that we read here in the Bible, the thing that I love about the scripture and about our God and this gospel is that it's positive. Amen. If somebody, you know, is negative in the move of God, they're reading the wrong book or they're identifying with the wrong side. Amen. There's only one side that should be depressed and negative and down, and that's the losers, the losing side. That's the powers of darkness. Amen. Because for a child of God, the promises of God are yea and amen, and they're positive. And, you know, everything in the book speaks wonderful things of us. Amen. So we have a positive gospel. We have a mighty restoring God. Our God doesn't tear down. Our God builds up. The enemy is the one that tears down and destroys, and he comes to kill and to steal. He comes to steal your joy and to steal your health and to steal your family. But it's our God that does the restoring. Amen. He's the one that tears down those works. And he restores families, and he restores health, and he restores minds. Amen. He's a mighty God. He's the one that created in the beginning. And so he's the one that can restore back to the original thought creation that he had. Because, you know, when we talk about restoration, it's restoring something to its original. Amen? And our God, he is the original. He is the creator. He's the one that has the mind and the thought of something in its perfect condition. And so he's the one that restores back to that. Amen? So when we speak about restoration, or we look at that subject in the scripture, there are many places and many different themes through the Bible that speak about restoration. For instance, there are many scriptures that speak about the restoration of Israel. Is that right? Where Israel was established in their homeland with a temple worship, and they were established under Moses and David and Solomon that built the great temple, right? And they had an established nation under the headship of God. But then we know that Israel fell, and they became worldly, and they went through a period of you know, where they were carried off into captivity and the temple was torn down, but God restored that temple worship. But we also know that it happened again in our time, where Israel was dispersed through the land, through the world, but God brought them back. And he is now restoring Israel, and he will complete that work where he restores that temple worship. Amen. So we see the restoring God at work in Israel. Of course, that's not for us, but we see that theme in the scripture. Amen. And we see the restoration of the church as the very first church was established on Paul's gospel. Yeah, amen. And they had the word of God. Yeah. And then they began to cool off, and the enemy began to come in, and the church lost the love, the first love that she had. And through the ages, she corrupted and corrupted and corrupted, went into the ground and died. Amen? But in this age where God is restoring his church, he's restoring the word back to the church. Amen? And then we see restoration of all creation, where we know that this creation was made by God. Man was made by God in the image of God. And all of creation was created, and it was good. But then it fell, and man fell. And it has corrupted. And so all of creation now is in a corrupted, fallen state. But God is going to restore it. Amen? Just as he is restoring man, he is restoring us as individuals to our position in our place and the condition that we were supposed to be in his mind. Amen? And he restores through man, he restores then the earth and all of creation. It's a mighty work. Amen? I mean, he's continually bringing this restoration into the life of every believer. As the enemy comes and combats you and tries to tear down things in your life, God comes as a restoring power. Amen? I'm so thankful for that tonight. Amen? Amen. So restoration, it means to take something back to its original. The original state. Amen? It's not replacing it. You know, we live in a society and a time where so many things now, we just, that breaks, you just replace it, right? You toss it out and go get a new one. Amen. And that's kind of the way that we're trained these days. But that's not how God operates. God creates and he multiplies and he restores. Amen. He doesn't replace. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. God had, our Father has an original blueprint. He has an original thought about his children and about his creation. Amen? And brother, sister, there's no improvement on that. You in the mind of God are perfect from the moment he had that thought. Amen? He can't have a better thought. It's perfect right from the beginning. So there's no improving, right? So his restoration process takes us to that original because there's nothing could be greater. You know, here on earth, when we restore something, we restore a car or something collectible, right? Sometimes there's an improvement made. Well, you know, we did this and you add a few things and make it better or whatever, but that's not the original, right? It wouldn't be original then. Original is original with all of its flaws.
Right.
Right? But for us, original is original without any flaws.
Right.
I'm so thankful for that. Amen. I mean, you think about God having thoughts about creation and children, and he's expressing that. Amen. And then the fall interrupts it. Amen. Corruption interrupts it. But God's going to have his thought.
Amen.
Amen? Because that fall, that corruption is only temporary.
Right. Right.
His original perfect thinking is what's eternal.
Amen.
Amen. You know, brother, sister, we deal with it. We almost get used to it. We almost get used to dealing with the sickness and weakness and corruption that we experience in this flesh. Right? It's just because it's just part of this fallen nature that we have to deal with. But that is not part of God's original thoughts for you. Amen? When he thought of you, when he thinks of you, he doesn't see you in a sick, corrupted form. Amen? He sees you perfect. Did Jesus ever tell anyone? We just read, right, where Jesus said he came to tear down the works of the devil, right? Do you have scripture where Jesus ever told anyone who came to him that was sick? And he said, no, it's God's will for you to be sick.
No.
He never said that, right? He came to tear down the works of the devil. We know that God allows these things to come in our lives, no question. We know that tests and trials and all these things, we talked about that Sunday, right? We know that those things are going to come, but we also have a God who restores us. You know, I was thinking about Lazarus today. They probably, you know, Lazarus and his family, they were friends of Jesus. Amen? And you know, Lazarus didn't get to choose his trial. He got sick and they all expected Jesus to come and to heal him.
Right.
That was what they expected. Right? Because he was a healer. They had seen him do it.
Right.
over and over and over and over. And so they expect, well, man, I mean, this is his friend. Of course he will come. But Jesus was late. He was late in coming. Amen? They thought that death was too final. They believed he could heal and they'd seen him do it, but death, that was too far. Right? Because even when he showed up, they said, we know he's coming in the resurrection, and we know he'll be there, but amen? Somehow that was too much. They thought Lazarus would be spared the hardship of death. They thought that he was going to get sick and get healed and be another testimony in Jesus' great healing ministry. Amen? But you know what? There was a greater plan for Lazarus. A greater plan. God was going to give him a greater testimony. Think about all the people that Jesus healed. Jesus healed lots of people. Right? I mean, at some point in the Gospels, it just says he healed them all. Right? But we know Lazarus' name. We don't know all their names. Amen? God was going to give him a testimony. God was going to prove that he was a restorer. Not just of health, but of life. That he had power over death. Where death is an entity that comes to steal and destroy life that God created in the beginning, God is a restorer that takes it back from death and puts it back in its original condition. My, hallelujah. Amen. He's doing that with us today. Now, you may not be dead. I hope not, right? But we were all dead in sins and trespasses. And we still battle an enemy that's tearing down and destroying and attacking every day. Amen? And God, in our lives, Jesus is tearing down strongholds of the enemy. He's giving you a testimony. Amen? He's proving that he is a restoring God. By doing it in your life and my life. He's building back what the enemy tears down. And when the enemy sets up a tower or walls or something in your life, he tears those down. Amen. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." You see, he tells us why the suffering comes. So that he can establish and strengthen and settle you and make you perfect. Amen. Making you perfect, that sounds like a restoration to me. Amen. So, there's three kind of components that go along with restoration that we want to speak about tonight. And one of those is, I would call reinstatement. Now, reinstatement means that you are, or deals with your position. If you are reinstated, you were in a position, you lost that position, and you were given it back. You were reinstated into that position or into that relationship. Amen? And then there's restitution. And restitution is a return of what belonged to you. It's payback. Right? When you lose something or someone wrongs you and you suffer loss, restitution gives you back what you had, the loss that you suffered. Amen? And then there's restoration, which deals with your state or condition. Amen. So we got that tonight. We got position, relationship. We got restoring our possessions. And then we got our state or our condition. Amen? So Jesus' work, when he was walking on here on earth, his work was putting things right. Was making things right. Things that had been wrong, things that had gotten out of position, or things that had been stolen, or things that had been destroyed by the enemy. He was righting those wrongs. Now, he didn't right every single wrong in the world, right? That wasn't his job to go to. I mean, we know the story where he goes down to the man at the pool of Bethesda, right? He didn't heal every person in the world, right? He didn't right every wrong in the world when he was here on earth. But as was predestinated for him to do, when he encountered those things and when the predestinated meeting happened and occurred, when he was on the scene, he made the wrong right. Amen? And brother, sister, that work continues today. Amen? He healed the sick. What was that? It was someone who was well, meant to be well, in the wrong condition. And he healed them to put them back in the right condition. There were those that were blind. Their original condition was supposed to be, even if they were blind by birth, that wasn't the condition that they were supposed to be in. Their original condition was they were supposed to have eyesight. And so he gave them sight. He made those that were deaf to be able to hear. They were supposed to have that. Amen. Are you sensing a theme here? Those that couldn't speak were dumb. They were supposed to be able to speak. And so he gave them that. There were those that were bound by demons, oppressed by demon powers. They weren't supposed to be like that. Amen. The child of God is not supposed to be oppressed by demons. They're not supposed to be bound by chains. They're supposed to be free, and they're supposed to walk on serpents' heads. So those that he found that were in that condition, he set them free. Because that was the state they were supposed to be in. Hallelujah. And of course, he raised the dead. Amen. So let's look here at restitution a little bit. Job 42:10. I think we have that one. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Restitution plus. 1 Samuel 30:18. David recovered all that the Amalekites carried away. Remember David, the enemy had come in. Amen. When he wasn't looking, and taken everything that was dear to him, everything that was precious to him. And so he inquired of the Lord, and David said, "Lord, what should we do? Should we go after him?" And the word of the Lord came and told him, "Go. It belongs to you. That's your rightful possession. Go take it." Amen. And so he pursued because he saw and was convinced that the promise was his. Hallelujah. Once you know that word is yours, brother, sister, there's nothing should stand before you. He knew that it was his. He knew that God was on his side. He knew that it was God's will to restore to him what had been taken from him. So he takes 2/3 of his men. They go. They fight the battle. God is with them. So not only do they recover all. Let's read it. David recovered all that the Amalekites carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. There was nothing missing. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." So not only was everything perfectly restored to him, but he gained some spoil on top of it. He spoiled the enemies. Amen. And took their stuff. Hallelujah. He gained in the process. Oh, I just love that. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:6 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, amen, I believe we read this on Sunday, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you love, in whom now you see him not, yet you believe, amen, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We are receiving a precious gift. Not only will we take back everything that the devil stole from us, but in the process, he's being used as a tool to give us gold. Amen? He's being used to create character in us. A precious gift. God is developing something in his church. Amen? Restitution. The devil will pay restitution for everything that he has taken. Not only will he return every bit of it, but he will give back plus. Amen. And I don't feel sorry for him one bit. Hallelujah. Amen. Restitution. And then there's reinstatement, which has to do with our position. Amen? And there, of course, are many examples of this in the Scripture. And you don't really need to look much farther than the Gospels even for that, right? There's many people in the Scripture. The woman at the well, amen, who comes to Jesus, she is an ill-famed woman, right? But yet she is reinstated as a good woman. Amen. And Rahab, another harlot, right? Everything against her was wiped away. She was reinstated as an honorable woman. Marries a general, becomes part of Jesus' lineage. Amen. Being placed back into a position. We are being reinstated to our rightful position. Amen. As the stars of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Sons and daughters of the King. Amen. That is our position in the kingdom of God. That belongs to us. Amen. And that's part of the process that we are going through, where God is reinstating us. Kind of like the prodigal son. You know? Being restored to a position. Even though, you know, the Bible says that about Jesus, says all things are under his feet. But even now we see that not all things are put under his feet. Right? We're not in that position completely yet. Amen? Is that right? But we're in the process of redemption. And the process of redemption is reinstating. That when that process is complete, we will be fully reinstated into our position. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what we're in right now, is this age of restoration. Let me read to you from the third seal here tonight. It says, now notice, here we are at the end time in spiritual Eve. Just as Hebrew Eve was promised, the Hebrew bride was promised the word to return, and the spiritual bride from Pentecost when she fell at Nicaea, then she's promised in the last days that the word will come again. Now, if you want another scripture, take over here in Revelation 10, and said, in the hour, the time of the last angel, the seventh messenger begins to sound, the mystery, of God is finished. See, the restoration back to the word. The Bible said that this messenger of the last days would be to restore them back to the original faith again, back to the faith of their fathers. You think they would receive it? No, sir. Last days, he would restore the original word again, as he said in Malachi 4, that she had forfeited. Now, she forfeited that word at Nicaea. He's speaking about the church, right? The worldly church. She forfeited the word at Nicaea. Eve forfeited in Eden. At Nicaea, we know that the church compromised on the word. They took man's theological ideas over what the word of God said. They changed the word to fit their thinking, and they veered onto a track that would take the worldly church, the carnal church, completely out of the word of God, away from at enmity with the word of God. Amen? Eve forfeited in Eden. We know what happened there. Eve reasoned with the word of God, accepted a lie, accepted a corrupted, twisted word of God, and caused the entire fall of all creation. Amen? Eve rejected hers at Calvary, and Nicaea's group is rejecting it in their last days just the same. But when the word came in human flesh, she, Eve, the Hebrew church, mother of all spiritual living, is it. So when he says she rejected it at Calvary, he's speaking in type of the Hebrew church. Right? So the Hebrew church also rejected the word in the form of Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. Right? Eve, the Hebrew church, mother of all spiritual living, is then she rejected it and was so dead in her traditions and dogmas that she missed it. And so is this one, just exactly. So, where others had given up their rights, that's what they did. They forfeited their rights to the Word of God. They forfeited their opportunity to complete restoration. Amen? What happened? They were talked out of it. That's what happened in both cases. Really? Yeah, they were talked out of it. Yeah, that's what Satan does, is he tries to talk you out of something. He doesn't have any power. He has words. He has reasoning. Amen? It wasn't taken from them by force. Eve was talked out of it. The church nominal was just talked out of it. They were just talked out of the word by the father of lies. Amen? The subtlety of Satan's reasoning. Amen? Took and corrupted the church, corrupted creation, and they forfeited the truth. And by doing so, they forfeited power over him. Amen? You see, that's why it's so important that we don't forfeit the word. The group, this group at the end, I'm not just this church, but you know, the bride, the called out church in this end, is part of the restoration of all things. So that restored word has to be taken and not forfeited. It has to be taken and held to. Amen? Each individual has to receive the word and not give it up for anything. Amen. Amen. Because that word being restored to you is a sword being placed in your hand. Amen. It's the weapon of your warfare. A sword for you to battle against your enemy. Why would we give it up and forfeit it? Amen. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. Well, that's what he's doing. Amen? How many times have we laid down our sword because the enemy has talked us out of it? He's talked us out of either questioning the sword, questioning the word concerning us, questioning who we are, questioning. Amen? And we start to listen and we start to reason, and pretty soon we're not even fighting against him. All we're doing is battling against ourselves. This word will defeat the devil. Amen. But we have to hold it. Amen. We have to hold the standard. Right. We have to wield it with faith. Amen. And we have to know that it's given for us. Right. From the Church Age book, Resume of the Ages, says, "It is thus saith the Lord, for that is what Joel 2 23 through 26 says, excuse me, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. These are spiritual blessings for you and I tonight. And that hath dealt wondrously with you, has he dealt wondrously with you? And my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. Now it says God is going to restore. The Lutheran age did not restore the church. It started a reformation. The Wesleyan age did not restore. The Pentecostal age did not restore. But God has to restore, for he can't deny his word. Amen. This is not the resurrection of the church. It is the restoration. God will take the church right back to Pentecost of the beginning. Now notice in verse 25, it tells why we need a restoration. Because the locust and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm have eaten all but the root and a small bit of the stem. And we are told that all these insects are one and the same in different stages. That is right. They are the Antichrist spirit manifested in organization, denomination, and false doctrine through the ages. And that poor little root and stock is going to be restored. God isn't going to plant a new church, but he's going to bring his original planting back to the original seed. And he is doing it, as stated in verse 23, by the teaching or the former rain, and then next will come the harvest rain or the rapturing faith. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what he's doing in this age, brother, sister. This is what we're part of. Amen. Blasphemous names. So therefore the rock, this latter-day Pentecostal church, which has received the Holy Spirit, they did it at the first. All down through the ages, they received the Holy Spirit, but not in the measure that they have it now, because it's a restoration of the first. We take the candlesticks, Alpha and Omega, how they lit the first candle, and it went higher and higher and got dimmer and dimmer and then come back again. See? First and last. So, brother, sister, this is not a new church. Amen? It's not a different life. It's the same life. It's the same church that was established at the beginning, but it's being restored. It's going through a restoration process. Amen? And now, in this age, it's a new generation after new generation of individuals. And each individual must have the original life. Amen? They must receive the same life that was received at Pentecost. The candlestick representing the life of God in the church being lit from the same source, one to the next, to the next. And all drawing from the oil, the same vessel of oil. Amen. All drawing from the same Holy Spirit. All connected to each other. That's the work that's going on right now. It's a great work, brother, sister. It's greater than anything that we could imagine in our flesh. Amen. It's greater than your job. Amen. It's greater than a career. It's greater than any man's accomplishment. We're part of the restoration of God's original thought. Hallelujah. Not a new gospel, but a restored gospel. A restored life. This is from the message, the super sign. It says, there's got to come in this last day a restoration of the church. That bride tree that was eaten down back yonder by cankerworms and palmer worms and all kinds of insects that eat all the brotherly love and fruits away from it. There's got to come a church again where those barriers will be broke. And the Holy Ghost will have the right of way among the people. Do you believe that that is what God wants to do right now? There's got to come a church again. Yes. Amen. That's what the restoration work is for. When you do, you will see the same signs and wonders that happened back there in them days. Amen. Looking for the super sign. Now that super sign was a virgin born Christ that was to last forever, an eternal sign. And that child is not dead. They killed him. He died, certainly. The stinger of death killed him, but God raised him up again. And here he is after 2,000 years of all the hardships and the locusts and the palmer worms eating on it. But there is still a remnant of people that believe God and keep his word. There'll be a bride. Just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit, there will be a bride. And that bride will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that Lamb will be living among them, showing super signs of his resurrection. Now, did all this cease in 1965? The restoration work just stopped, right? We put everything on pause and... No, it's still going. It goes on until it's done. The work must continue until it's complete. That Lamb will be living among them, showing super signs of his resurrection. After 2,000 years, the same thing he did when he was here on earth. Among them. Hallelujah. From the Laodicean church age, says, already the visible manifestations of what I've been telling you are seen all around us. The ecumenical move of the tares is factual, but it is also a fact. So if the negative is true, it is also a fact that the prophet for the last age must be bringing forth a message from God that will forerun the second coming of the Lord. For by his message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers, and with the restoration of the word will come the restoration of the power. Yes. Hallelujah. Restoration of the word brings restoration of the power. Some people's idea of the restoration of the word is just an intellectual dead gospel that they can argue about. We got the restored word. We're more revelated than you. Where's the power? If you've got the restored word, there should be power with it. Amen? And I'm not talking about, you know, power to just do miracles and stuff. What about just a power to live a clean life? What about the power over sin? Amen? Same power that was in the church in the beginning, the same power that Jesus raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus raised others from the dead. God has always had divine healings, but there are super signs of his resurrection to be in the church. Amen? There's supposed to be a time when sin cannot enter through the doors. Right now, the restored church with the restored word has power over sin. Amen. Well, brother, sister, this restored word is not powerless tonight. Amen? We're not just tickling our ears. We're not just tickling our intellect with the word of God. There's power in this word. And there's power because it is restored and complete to us. It's no longer in part. It's no longer doubted. It's no longer forfeited. It's now complete and restored. I think about in the scripture, one of the most powerful people in the scripture was Samson. Right? And it wasn't, we understand it wasn't just because of his physical strength. It was what God's power and anointing that was on him, right? So Samson he was birthed for a purpose, and he had power that God had given him. But he forfeited it. He forfeited the word of God. He wouldn't come under the headship of the word of God. Amen? And his glory, his hair that was given to him as a sign of his headship and as a sign of the Nazarite vow that he was under, he forfeited that. He gave it up. Yes. Amen? How did it happen? He was talked out of it. Somebody stronger came and overcame him. No. Somebody with words talked him out of it. Amen? But God allowed him to be restored. Amen. As his hair began to grow back and he was in prison, they had put out his eyes. You know the story, right? He began to get his strength back. God restored to him his strength. But you know what? God, who is a restorer, had also give him something else. He had character to go with it now, or at least humility. Amen. He had learned a lesson. Amen. And so he had his power restored, plus he had some extra little character to go with it. And he became sacrificial in his use of his power. Before, he was selfish with it. He did it for his own purposes and his own gain. But now he stood and he sacrificed himself for his countrymen, for the greater good. And the Bible says that he killed more Philistines in that one act than he did the whole entire rest of his life, fulfilling God's purpose for him. Amen. He destroyed the enemy that moved in his life. Amen. Through the power of God that was restored to him. Brother, sister, we need to understand what we have tonight. Amen. The church has had the word restored to her. It's a restored power. But we're not using it for selfishness. Right? We've come down to the end, and it's not about building an organization or building up a movement or building up man. The last group in this last age that has this restored power also has a character with it. And she will do things that no one else has ever done. Amen? She will face down death. She will have a power in that restored word to not hinder the resurrection of the saints. She will have a power to allow God omnipotent to reign on earth. Amen. Power to be part of the completion of the finishing up of the work of God. Power to complete the times of restitution that we're in. And finally, power for a body change. Amen. This is from the Message of Future Home. It's our last one here. It says, just like he does in us, passes from death into life, dwelling in heavenly places in Christ in his glorious presence. Even physical death will pass away then, just as spiritual death has passed away now. There's no such a thing as spiritual death now to a baptized saint of God. There's no such thing as spiritual death. Why? Because you pass from death into life. Amen. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. All scripture, it must be fulfilled. See, you can't die. You got eternal life. Amen. Only thing, the Redeemer has made you recognize it. You were always that. Amen. Right? Restoration is taking you back. You were always that. But you needed to be restored. He says, and that's the reason you see the day that you're living in. How many sees it? Raise your hand. See? Thank you. See? The day that we're living in, you recognize it. Old things passed away. All things become new. Right? Newness of life. But it's actually just, it's new and it's different from the fallen life, but it's a restoration back to what we had. Amen? This is a great work. It's happening in every individual, every child of God. Amen? But we've got to surrender to it. We've got to be willing vessels. Amen? We've got to be willing. We've got to be clay in the master's hand. We got to allow him to have his way. We've got to pray for it. He said that was part of our role, a part of our job, was to pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Pray for healing. Pray. Amen? To ask. Keep on asking. To seek. To knock. That's what we do. Amen? Not begging, but asking by faith. Knowing that it belongs to us. And then we walk in it. We ask and then we walk. We ask and we step out. We pray and we move into it. We step into the vision. We don't let the circumstances dictate to us how we walk. We walk by faith. We step out. Even though it doesn't look like there's a way, we know that there will be a way made when we get there. And we receive it. We don't take anything else other than what the Word says for us. Amen? No matter how long it takes, no matter how hard it is, we take what God has promised for us. Amen. Restitution belongs to you. Amen. What the devil stole from you belongs to you. We receive it. We don't take anything less. Amen. David didn't accept anything other than full restoration of everything that belonged to him. Plus, he took spoil on top of it. We receive the promises of God, the power in the revealed, restored Word of God. Amen? Amen? It's not a patch-up job, right? It's a restoration. And brother, sister, the thing about that is that this restoration that God is doing, it's for eternity. It's going to last. Amen? That's why we say it's not a patch-up job. A patch-up job is something that just gets you by for a little while, right? You get a hole in the tire, you put a patch on it. Well, who knows how long that patch is going to last? It might last the life of the tire. It might not. It might get you 10 miles down the road and blow out again. It's a patch up. But what we're talking about is a restoration. He's doing a work that's going to last for eternity. So guess what? He's doing it right. Amen. He's doing a good work in you. The work that he's doing in you is going to last. It's important. Amen. We're blessed tonight. Amen. Are you blessed tonight? Are you thankful that for what you have? Amen. And you know, so much of what we just do up here is just to remind you and tell you what you have. What you have access to. Amen. And so many times our problems come because we forget and we don't take advantage of what we have and what we have access to. And we need to be reminded who we are and not to let our guard down and not to listen to the enemy who wants to talk you out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's all I got for you tonight. Let's stand. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Amen. Once again, still working through the little tickles here. Amen. Amen. But this is my health is restored to me. Yeah. Amen. And I won't accept anything less. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Oh God, for every promise in the book is mine, Lord. I don't say that arrogantly, Lord. I don't say that based on anything that I've done to deserve it, Lord. But I say that just because that's what you said. Lord, I pray that every child of God, all my brothers and sisters in here tonight, that every one of them can say that with confidence. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I believe it. It's because it's a restored word. And I receive it tonight. And I want to take advantage, Lord God, of the power in that restored word to live a holy life, to live a victorious life. I know that trials will come. I know the enemy will take his shots. But he is a defeated foe. Lord, your word will defeat the enemy on any grounds, on any time, under any circumstances. And we believe that tonight, Lord. We're believers, Lord. We receive your word. We receive your promise tonight. And Lord, we come to you tonight as willing vessels. We want to just, Lord, we want to be a part of this restoration, Lord. That's why we're here tonight. Because we've heard the call, Lord, and we've said, Lord, that's me. You've called me. I heard you calling me by name. And Lord, I responded to the call. And I saw my name written in the book. Oh, God, how thankful we are tonight. Help us, Lord, to be reminded and be, Lord, exhorted tonight and just encouraged by what we have and what we have access to, Lord. May we not take a back seat to the devil tonight. May we not stop to listen to his lies. But may we walk tonight in restoration, restitution, Lord, as we are being reinstated into our position in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sons and daughters of the living God walking into an adoption. Oh, hallelujah. How we love you, Lord. I thank you for this place. I thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for being part of this work. Lord, I pray that you just bless your children. Bless this word, Father. I pray that you just, it would somehow find a bedding ground tonight, that it would just move in your children's hearts, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Oh, he's so good, isn't he, brother, sister? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Can you put that one up there? Full restoration. Yeah, there we go. So I'm casting all my cares on you. Coming back for